Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. When are we ever going to grow up? I mean, isn't it something we go through our lives and the stuff you struggled with long ago, you still struggle with? It's really something. And the Lord's still working with us, getting us there, you know. And the big thing is to keep cooperating with Him, keep asking Him, keep agreeing with Him. This is a song written by Gary Chapman a long time ago. Lord, I take my pen to write to you a letter, knowing even now you know what's on my mind. I think perhaps it might make me feel better if I see myself here written in a line. As I close, I see a phrase I took for granted, and it leaps out as I see it written there. And as the truth of it begins to become planted, these two words have now become my heartfelt prayer. Sincerely yours, Lord, I sign my life to you. Sincerely yours, with a strong and honest wish to be the best that I could be. What I am without a thought for me, Lord, teach me now to be sincerely yours, without a proud or selfish line. Sincerely yours, Lord, until the end of time, please make my life become a letter you could keep and never throw away. I'll write it till the day I become sincerely yours, sincerely. Sincerely yours, sincerely yours. So I was going to go brush my teeth a couple nights ago before we go to bed, right? She'd been in, you know, you give the girls First shot at the bathroom, so you know, they get all their stuff done. And I go in, and I said, Debbie, where's the toothpaste? And she said, I just brushed my teeth. I don't know. We turned the whole place upside down. We still haven't found that tube. We don't know where it went. So the tube fairy is what John said.
Time.
Shouldn't he dope, keep out the devil? Shouldn't he dope, keep the devil in deny? Shouldn't he dope, keep out the devil? Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Okay, you got that? Okay, I always have to tell you, it's not shut the door, it's shut the door. Shut the door. Keep out, it's not the devil. Not like, could it be the devil? You know, it's not like the church lady, it's keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Not night, in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Okay? Say, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Just a game, shut-dee-doo, keep the devil in deny. Many years and many trials, shut-dee-doo, keep out the devil. Show to me they're not the same, shut-dee-doo, keep the devil in deny. Shut-dee-doo, keep out the devil. Shut-dee-doo, keep the devil in deny. Shut-dee-doo, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Keep the devil in deny, and without your holy armor, shut-dee-do, keep out the devil. He will eat you for dessert. Shut-dee-do, keep the devil in deny. Shut-dee-do, keep out the devil. Shut-dee-do, keep the devil in deny. Shut-dee-do, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Keep the devil in the night. Jesus went and called them home. Shut-dee-doo, keep out the devil. So I'm here to sing to you. Shut-dee-doo, keep the devil in the night. Sing, shut-dee-doo, keep out the devil. Shut-dee-doo, keep the devil in the night. Shut-dee-doo, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Not bad for a bunch of white people. Maybe a few months at the beach would change that and help us to get a little looser and talk about the most important stuff. Thanks. All right. John chapter 15, verse 17. Simple statement. Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command in verse 17, love each other. He boiled it all down to this simple commandment. Now look, once you become a believer, you then are attempting to learn God's word, see how he sees things, and live that out, okay, in this world. You want to live out what he has told us to do. Now, I just want to make this clear right off the bat. We do Christian things because we are already a Christian. Don't get that backwards. We don't do Christian things in order to become a Christian, okay? That's where people get deceived. They think, well, there's some things that the Bible tells us to do and not do. Well, I'm not going to do the things he says not to do, and I'm going to do the things he says to do, but I'm going to do them so he'll then like me, and then maybe someday I can go to heaven. I'm going to let that good outweigh my bad, and maybe, you know, it'll tip the scales. That is not found in the scriptures at all. There's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that is to be born into it. So doing a bunch of Christian activity or doing a bunch of nice things or good things or things that, you know, God says we should do, and we make an attempt at doing that thinking somehow that's going to make God like us, that doesn't work. There's only one way to be right with God, and that is through the shed blood of his only son that he sent for us. And that's why Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. You got to be born into that kingdom. Just like this world. How do you enter this world? You're born into it, right? You can't come here any other way. You have to be born into it. And the kingdom of God is the same way. It comes through making your own personal commitment of trust in Jesus, that he died for you on a cross. Everybody has to come the same way. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you're a congressman or a garbage man. It doesn't matter. We all come the same way. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, he was telling us the truth. That's exactly true. And by the way, boy, that verse nowadays, whoo, that's offensive to people. But it's true. And so before I even start talking about what Jesus tells us to do here, he's telling his people who already know him what to do. Okay? You're not going to become a Christian because you do some Christian things. We all have to come the same way. Look, Jesus, when he saved you, when you put your trust in Christ, that is a beautiful and wonderful thing. I want you to know that's the beginning, is that he saved you and made you his child. Now, the next thing is that he's going to grow you into the person that he wants you to be. And he boils all of this down to this simple statement for believers. He says that we should love one another. So in order for this to happen, a couple things have got to take place. First of all, this. We got to start to learn God's ways. And the Bible is the place to do that. Let me read those things to you that I just read to you. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. That's the commandment of Jesus. He's made the commandment. That means the people that bug you. That means the people you don't understand. That means the people that you're jealous of. That means the people who have hurt you. We're commanded to love them. And get this. Now, about your love for one another, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, we don't need to write to you. I mean, these people loved each other beautifully. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more. You're never going to get to the end of this. Life is going to be a continual learning process of how to love people. Because life is tough and this is a broken world and we're all sinners, right? So you're going to have all kinds of extra stimulus of how to learn how to love people. It's going to be continuous. It's going to be the focus of our lives. Do you see this? It's not going to, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that we need to do to be healthy. I mean, you know, you need to work hard. You need to not be a burden on anyone. We all need to save and plan for our futures. There's a whole bunch of stuff we need to do. But on the top of that list has to be that we have got to continue to learn how to love. It's a continual learning process. And like I said, you'll have plenty of situations. Above all, Peter writes, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. You want to get beyond the struggles within groups, within families? Listen, we just got to choose to love each other and let some stuff go. And then Jesus said that the one identifying mark of a Christian, what's that one identifying mark going to be? Great Bible knowledge? No. Able to win conversations with atheists? No. By this, Jesus said, all people will know that you're mine if you have love one for another. You see how important this is? It's not the most fun thing in the world because it takes work and it's difficult. But we're told to do it. So we got to start seeing stuff God's way. Man, that's an eye-opening thing. But okay, we got to come to these couple of decisions. First of all, we have to believe that the scriptures are supreme. What the Bible says is absolutely true, and we have to follow it. We have to hold it up as the truth. And it is. We have every reason to believe it. I know the Bible is attacked all the time. It's ridiculous. It's the most incredible piece of literature in all of the world. The background to it is unbelievable. The historicity of the Bible, the fact that we have all these witness of ancient manuscripts, how it hangs together. We've talked about it for all these decades here. So it is the supreme word of God. And then we also know by following what God says, it's amazing what happens. It is a guide. It's a road map to real happiness and real fulfillment in this world.
If you go the wrong way, it's going to hurt you. God isn't trying to keep you from having fun when he says to do certain things and not do other things, okay? He's not trying to keep you from getting what you want. He's trying to keep you safe. He wants your life to be happy and fulfilling in that sense. That you do the right thing, because there is this principle in the Bible. It's called what you plant grows. Okay? The Bible calls it sowing and reaping. Whoever sows to please his flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Do you see? It's just what's healthy. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure this stuff out. I had a buddy of mine, the simplest guy I know, just a simple guy. Ralph is just a simple guy. He works all day as a custodian, and then he comes home, and he puts on overalls, usually without a shirt. It's not a pretty sight. He's a big boy, okay? Not pretty. Usually barefooted. And those feet, if it's summertime, are always filthy dirty because he's out in his garden. He's got a 3-acre garden, okay? And so I go out with him when I stop by to visit him sometimes. I say, hey, what's growing here? And he holds up this packet that's on a stick in the ground. He holds up the packet. Corn. Okay. You go to another one, and I'll say, what's here? You put something about the packet. You know, and he tells me how good the seeds are and how he buys them special and all that stuff. These are beets, you know. Now, why does he know that stuff's going to grow there? Because he planted corn seeds, and he covered them up, and he sang to them probably. Well, he tells me he sings to his stuff. And he covers them up, and he waters them and fertilizes them and waits, knowing that that's going to grow because that's what he planted. Pretty simple, right? Well, I want you to know what we plant in our lives grows. What we plant in our families grows. If you plant perfectionism into your children, nothing is ever good enough. You demand all the time. You never congratulate them. If you plant positive reinforcement and never tell those kids the truth, that they're not the greatest child on earth, you're going to have an arrogant kid grow up in your family, an angry kid grow up in your family because the world doesn't revolve around them. I mean, there's just so many things. We can go on and on with lists of all that stuff, but what we plant grows. It's simple. So when the Lord tells us to love one another, it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment because he loves us and he wants us to have a life that matters and a life that's peaceful and a life that's beautiful. I knew an old man named Tom. And old Tom used to talk about down home, he hated working on the farm, man. He hated working on the farm. And so his grandpa would make him plant a field, like 10-acre field he had to plant as a 12-year-old boy. I mean, it was a lot of work. It took quite a while, and he got so tired of it. One day, he just took all the seed and threw it down by the river on the edge of the property and walked off. Grandpa said, "You get that stuff planted, boy?" He said, "Yes, sir, I sure did." And that was fine. He got away with it for a while, and then it rained, and it got warm, and the sun came out, and a few weeks later, there was only plants on about 2 acres of that property, and the rest was this huge grove down by the river. Grandpa knew exactly what happened. What he planted and where he planted it grew. Now, do you know who needs our love the most? Our families. Those are the people that we take most for granted. And the Lord has told us to see that differently. You know, our husbands are desperate for appreciation, for respect. Our wives are desperate for love and for a man that really cares about her. I mean, it's a pretty desperate thing. And we're called to love the people in front of us, the people closest to us. We have to see things God's way, right? We got to learn God's ways, his ways of doing things. The second of this, not only do we have to learn God's ways, we got to unlearn our ways. Let me read you something. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. You are taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on your new self. That's what we're all called to do. We all did things certain ways in the past, and now we see God's ways, and then when it battles, like when we see our... See, we remember what we used to do and we see what God says we're supposed to do. Something needs to take place. The Bible calls it this, repentance. We need to repent. And the word repent means to change your mind. And you'll say, no, Tom, that means to change direction. No, it doesn't. It means literally to turn around in your mind. And that's what the Bible says. It's talking about renewing our minds. In fact, it's Romans chapter 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's unlearning all of our bad stuff and starting to learn God's ways. In fact, there's quite a culture shock to all of that. I was in a cave once with Debbie and Rick and Debbie Voltmer in Tennessee. We were way down in the cave. And they turned the lights off down there. There's two things I don't like, being confined and being way up high on something, okay? We go in this cave, and it was interesting. They told us about a bunch of interesting things. And then they talked about total darkness. If you turn these lights off, it's total darkness. We want you to experience, we're going to flip a switch, and everything's going to go dark. That was dark. In fact, they said if you were there for a while, you would actually lose your ability to see. Your eyes would stop working. They wouldn't work again. But I remember going back out into the bright sunlight of Tennessee, coming out of that darkness. Man, that hurt. That was a big adjustment, coming out of that darkness into light. There is a big adjustment coming from the old life to the new life. It's a huge adjustment into that light. And so what you've been used to doing is manipulate people. We all learn how to do it. We're all really good at it, too. Maybe you came out of a background where you were abusive, where you learned how to throw a fit and get mean or be abusive and make people do what you want. Maybe that's how you used to operate. Maybe you're codependent. Maybe you let people abuse you so you could like control the situation and make sure nobody blows up too big and everything stays nice and nothing's ever confronted. Maybe you did that. Maybe you were just sneaky and did what you wanted on the side and nobody ever knew about it. So you didn't have to be confronted by anything. Well, now it's time, like Peter says, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk that you may grow up into your salvation. It's time to grow up. It's time to do it. In fact, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, to rid yourselves of all this malice, including slander. So that's in your relationship to people, right? You quit talking that way about people. You learn to start loving them and not trashing them. We got a little, it's a printer's drawer that used to put the wooden printer's blocks in the old days. It's on a wall in one of our rooms, and it's full of all these little things. It's got like one of the few things I have from childhood, which is my Dennis the Menace spoon. I remember when that came. Man, I was excited. On Ruth Street, it came. 139 Root Street it came. I was all excited about that. I got the Dennis the Menace spoon. But you know what else I have in that? I have these two little white shoes. They were Debbie's first baby shoes. And I've saved them. I've got them stuffed in there and they're there. It's so cute. And I dust them off every now and then. They're so cute. But back in 1954, they were really, really cute. But if she's still wearing those things now and was still a baby, that would be like really, really weird, wouldn't it? That would be like, you know, if you're a full-grown person and you're still wearing a diaper and got a little bonnet on and pushed around in a car, that would be weird, right? How many Christians are still being pushed around spiritually in their little cart and never grew up? How many are still babies? It's time to keep moving forward, you guys. It's time to grow up into our salvation. And so we learn God's ways, we unlearn the old ways, you know? And, you know, we'll do pretty well with that, I think. But then we learn to love for the right reasons. Let me say this to you. If you choose to love people, you're going to be hurt. It's going to be painful sometimes. You're going to have people that misunderstand you and leave your life. People that you depended on, people that you cherish, people that you thought of as family are going to do dumb things and misunderstand and leave your life, and there's not going to be anything you can do about it. It's heartbreaking, okay? That's going to happen to all of us. But that's not a reason to not love. We have to keep going with it. So it'll hurt. You want to be hurt? Come to a church. There'll be somebody there to misunderstand you. Seriously. I mean, you know, in this cold weather, like right now, this time of year, picture porcupines trying to stay warm. Picture them in their little den or wherever it is they stay, in their little, you know, cubby where they stay. Think of them trying to huddle up and stay warm. Do you know how porcupines huddle up and stay warm? Very carefully. Okay, very carefully. Now, let me tell you, we need to huddle up and keep one another warm in this world and love one another. And we have to do it very carefully because we'll poke one another. All right? That's part of it, okay? There's going to be disappointment. It doesn't mean there isn't going to be. But we do it for certain reasons. Number one, because he said so. Remember your mother used to say, because I said so. Well, that might not have worked well with your mom, but the Lord is truly true in all things that he says. And when he tells us, we do it because he said so. God is our best in mind. God deals with the inside of us. Paul said something very interesting about his struggle with sin. He said he didn't really know what sin was until he read in the commandments, do not covet. And he realized that sin was an inside job, Romans 7. This inside problem that he had of coveting. You know, you see other people, you see what they have, and you don't like them because of what they have. Or they have wronged you in the past, and when they have a problem, you kind of in the inside kind of rejoice that they're struggling. Does that ever happen with you? I'm sure it doesn't. I'm sure it only happens to me. But it does. And that's called coveting. But there is this problem. There's this inward problem that all of us have that God is dealing with all of us on. Learning to love others and letting this stuff go. Wouldn't it be nice to just rejoice with other people when good things happen? And when bad things happen to them, you stand with a tear in your eye, comforting them. Life is so simple, so beautiful when we can do that instead of play these inward games. You see, that comes from something very, very important. In order to get past our struggles with this loving and learning to love properly, two very important things happen in our lives. First of all, if you have been forgiven by Jesus, not based on your merit, but just forgiven because he has chosen to love you and die for you and you've believed him. If you've received free salvation from him, that changes the way you look at other people because you didn't deserve forgiveness either. And they might not either, but you need to give it to them. See that? The other is this, thankfulness. God said something to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. He says to Abraham, I am your great shield. I am your great reward. The beginning of Genesis chapter 15 says that to Abraham. The idea of I am your shield literally means I am your sovereign. I'm the one that calls the shots in your life. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who's running this. Now listen, we can be thankful because he's forgiven us, but there's another reason to be forgiven. Do you know he loves you and he's giving you everything you need? It's time that we look around and be grateful for what we have, and it helps us love other people because we're not envious of them. The Lord says, I am your great reward. That's a pretty great thing, too. If we will choose to do this, who is it you're struggling with? Have you expected your wife to be somebody else your whole married life? And holy wedlock has turned into holy deadlock? Did you think that he was going to be a different man, and he isn't? That he's a sinner just like you? Are you going to forgive one another and move on and live in that blessing? Or are you going to hang on to it and allow it to destroy your life? Quit planting that kind of stuff in your life. So if we will choose to do these things like he's told us to, it deepens our relationship with the Lord. Let me read you Ephesians. I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Do you hear that? Rooted and established in love. Do you see how important it is? The root and foundation of our lives is love. That you may have power along with all of God's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. If we will do this, it deepens our understanding of him. I'm telling you what, it's so important that we do it. And it's also the most important thing you can do to show the world who Jesus is. Jesus says, the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. It's not about winning the arguments. Do you see that? Even though we could. It's not about all the other things. It's about this one thing. Is your life loving? Is your life beautiful? People are looking for beauty. People nowadays don't believe what they think. They believe what they feel. Nobody thinks anymore, which is really sad. And so to begin to help others come to know Christ, they have to feel something beautiful in our lives. That comes from us choosing a life of love. It's really an important thing.
I witnessed it the other day, visiting the hospital, seeing a friend of mine who was dying. He had not talked to his brother in 20 years. Both of them are Christians. You know what that's called? Sin is what that's called. I even thought about calling this other brother to let him know his brother was dying, because I didn't know that he would know it or not. So I went to see him. It was a couple days before my friend died. And when I go in, those estranged brothers were sitting together in that room. And what went through my mind is, what wasted years. Their kids don't even know one another as cousins. All over something stupid. That's not what God wants us to live. He wants us to live this simple, loving, free, open life. Let's not play games anymore. Let's grow up into our salvation. Come on, stand with me. Let's pray together, shall we? Come on. Lord Jesus, you know what needs to be done in our lives. You know the people that we need to forgive. You know the things we need to let go. Lord, would you help us to stop trying to run our own lives? We steer it into the ditch every time. We want to do it your way. Thank you for loving us so much that you died for us and was raised from the dead and chased us down from across the world and gave us your love and mercy. May we pursue some friends of ours now that we have been away from and wronged or hold grudges against. May we show them mercy too. Would you change it, make our lives beautiful, save our marriages, help our kids? Well, thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.